great. Just great. Here comes another stupid cocksucking ass-licking Skype episode. Great!
From Studio 65 in West Fallowfield and Studio 3, wherever Canuck happens to be this week, welcome to Season 5, Episode 4 of the Sens Call-Ups for Monday, November 21st, 2016. I'm Cardinal, I'm in studio with Pan, and Canuck is staying away from Winter Wonderland that we seem to be having here. He's gallivanting somewhere across the country. The team's play is frustrating many people. We've lost a player to waivers today, which I'm sure is adding to fan angst. So we got lots to talk about, and we have lots of email to read. So, Canuck, how's the weather where you are? Right now, it's ugly here.
Well, I'm not down south in Florida or anything like that. I'm actually just on the East Coast in Moncton, New Brunswick. So it's better than home, I guess. No snow yet.
No frozen roads. That's good.
No.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Eh? Yeah. It's a full-on winter storm right now. It was not a pleasant drive out here.
No, we can blame Ian Mendez for bringing it up.
Oh?
He brought it up on Saturday. He's like, there's a 5% chance of 25 centimeters of, or like a foot of snow.
Mm.
He's like, so what are you guys going to do? It's like, so I just replied to him, like, you know what? Trump won. I'm going to bring in the patio furniture.
The Cubs won. Well, actually, it was, well, that thought just evaporated. Never mind. I have no idea what I was about to say.
2016, eh?
So that happened since we last recorded, right?
Yes.
Yeah. This is the first
things that are better left not talked about, I think. We shouldn't be political. But then again, we're not in the U.S., so it doesn't really matter.
Got that one listener down south.
Oh.
How many listeners emailed us and said that they're going to move if that happened?
I certainly saw a lot of it on Twitter. So we'll see.
It's like, well, he already crashed his system, guys.
That's right.
If you come up to Ottawa to work, you're probably not going to get paid.
Oh, yeah, because there's that too.
Yeah, get a job with the federal government doesn't mean you're going to get paid for anything. So that's a different story, but that's been a bit of a schmozzle.
I'm sure we're going to touch on that tonight too.
Are we? Okay.
Well, probably.
Oh, yeah, we certainly could. Quick housekeeping. Podcast at sendscallups.com is the email address, which we have quite a number to read this week. Thank you very much. Always good to have content because it means we don't have to do any work coming up with our things to talk about. The forums are at sendscallups.com, including game threads and the pool. I keep forgetting to talk about the game pool, which has one member surprisingly in the lead, but that's okay.
I hope it's me.
It's always fun. It's game predictions, and every game has a game thread. Thank you, Homer, for taking those over, because I kind of was a bit remiss after about the third season of doing them. So I appreciate you making a game thread every week. And in the game thread, people put in predictions, and it's CB Inc. who's keeping track of them, isn't it?
Yeah.
CB Inc. is keeping track of the predictions, because it's not only what the score is, but who scores the game-winning goal. There's points for an exact score, a bunch of other stuff. So it's always fun. I mean, I joined late, so I'm slowly making my way up the standings. I started from the very bottom of them. So shout out to both Homer and CB Inc. for doing that as well. So that's in the forums at sensecollapse.com. The waiver wire is 1-844-SCU-6565. We even have voicemail this week. We have been spoiled. We've been away for so long. We're putting all this great content into a new show, which means we don't have to do any work for it, which is great because I've been, well, as usual, I've been busy. But as you can tell, this is a episode where Canuck's not even in the same room as we are. So we do the best we can.
Same province.
Or same province, same time zone.
Are you even on the continent?
Yeah. It's different weather. Everything's different. So that's about all the housekeeping. Let's go.
Game on!
We got a lot of games to talk about. Game number 12 is the first game that happened since we were last here, which was the Senators were in Nashville. This was a 3-1 loss.
This was election night.
Was that? Oh, that's right. That was
the
election
Senators
night.
Against the Predators, and the Predators came out and won.
Ooh, wow. That has implications on, yes, in terms of electioneering, Senators versus Predators. Predators won. Well done by you. How long did you rehearse that?
Oh, no, that was...
That was off Twitter.
Oh, was it? Okay, that was pretty good. I didn't see that.
It was a PK Subban show, to be honest with you. Great for my pool.
I was going to say, not great in terms of results. There was too much passing and not enough shooting. That was the note I took for that game.
I think I watched about 3 minutes of this because I was otherwise
preoccupied
by the end of the world.
Okay, well, that means after a 3-1 loss, the team's record was 7-5. Next game, game 13. This was the Senators in Buffalo. It was a 2-1 shootout win. Dzingel goal was the one goal in regulation, which was a thing of beauty.
Always Dzingel.
Yet again, it was a beautiful thing. On overtime, overtime was a bit of a tire fire because it was 8-0 shots on goal for Buffalo through that overtime.
Yes. Was this Condon's first game?
Condon got us to the shutout. It was his second game, I believe.
Right. Right. Okay. So we last time we recorded.
And... it was a an overtime win. There was one shot on goal by Ottawa in the overtime, and it was by Kyle Turris from Ryan, and that's what was the game-winning goal. So there we go. After this game, the team is now 8-5.
So just faking them out the whole time, right?
They were lulling them into a sense of complacency. Yes.
Speaking of which, talk about the next game.
Okay. The next game. Game 14 was the Senators in town versus the LA Kings.
It I had 100 level tickets for this one.
Yeah, what? I was in a 200 level box.
Oh, well.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Well, I wasn't there. I have to be different. What can I say?
I'm not even sure if the team was there for most of the game.
Do you have the shots per period on this one?
I don't, unfortunately.
Because I think the first is at least 15-1 or 15-2 for the Kings in shots.
Probably.
It was something just lopsided the whole way.
Okay. The only thing I have was this game was, including this game, after this game, the Senators were 4-1 when scoring first and 4-4 when being scored on first. But last year they lost 59 games when they were scored on first. So they're doing much better when you're scored on, at least they're playing 500 hockey right now when they're being scored on first. Now this was back when they were 9-5. A few games have happened since then. I don't have the up-to-date stats on that because I just haven't kept up with it, to be completely honest.
No, this game, because from what I remember of it is we were dramatically outshot in the first and just outplayed. I don't remember how the score ended up. I know we were down. I don't remember.
I think Turris maybe tied it up with the Kings 5 minutes to go.
Yeah. So, yeah, exactly. And then Turris ended up tying the game with about 5 minutes. And it's like, all right, well, look at that. Kings have 33 shots. We have 32. Mark Stone, 5 seconds left. Ties up the shots. We win. Start the car!
I don't think that was that game, was it?
Yeah, it was.
Okay.
It's good to get Stone back on the board. But last year, if we're getting dramatically outplayed in the first, what happens the rest of the game?
Oh, we were euchred.
Yeah.
So, no, I'm happy. Yeah, they're certainly doing better, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Right, next game. We'll just power through these. We've got lots of other stuff that's more interesting to talk about. Next game. The Sens were in town versus the Minnesota Wild, which was a 2-1 overtime loss.
I was probably there. I don't remember.
Mathot left after the first period. Yes, there was no word as to what his injury might be. In the second intermission, there was an interview with Erik Karlsson. Oops, my notes just disappeared. There was an interview with Erik Karlsson where he put it on himself, as well as others, to have to be better. There was an interview on TV and radio. It was the fourth line, Kelly and Neal and Turris. Turris was playing with Kelly and Neal, scored to tie the game in the third, but the Wild scored in overtime. My one other note from this game was something that's become a bit of a mantra of late: the power play was terrible.
The overtime goal was Dumba.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah! All right, next game, game 16, the Flyers. The Senators were at the Flyers.
This is at the casino for us.
That was at the casino for you. Mm-hmm. I was trying to figure out what the heck was going on because I was watching the game via my phone. just updates. I wasn't actually using
it's
the
NHL. Break bonus. What the hell?
The notes I have from this game were there were three breakaways against in the first period, and Anderson's body language after the third was that he was just, okay, enough. How many times do I have to bail you guys out?
He wasn't slamming out his stick like he did last year.
But in an interview later on in the game, he was pretty calm, and he talked about the team's defense being the difference in the first period overall. I mean, he was getting a little fed up with those breakaways, but whatever. This was the game where Tura scored with 2 minutes left in the third, was this game, the Flyer game. That's my note.
Okay,
say.
He did it again.
Okay. And then it went to a shootout, and the only person to score in the shootout was the 10th shooter, Erik Karlsson. So the team's record is now 10-5-1.
Maybe they were right. Put him at forward.
Yeah, play him as a forward. Yeah, for sure. And the last game to talk about is game 17, which was the Senators versus the Predators, which
There's
was
one
a
after that too.
5-1 loss. Is there?
Yeah.
Oops, did I forget
again,
something?
Again, it's PK Subban show.
Oops, I forgot to write down the last game that we played. Hoffman was out for this one. McCormick was recalled. And then...
There's a hodgepodge.
Yeah, the good news was Brassard scored. And the good news was Brassard scored on the power play.
But that's about all you could say for the power play that game.
Well, that's all the good news there is.
That's right.
Bobby Ryan left the game after taking a shot to his hand. He's got a broken finger. Condon had a couple of bad goals, but he didn't have a lot of team support on him either. And in post-game interviews, both Erik Karlsson and Mark Borowiecki made comment about we didn't have the right work ethic for this game.
Mm-hmm.
And Borowiecki said, yeah, it was us. Like, the problem in this game was us. We didn't work right. And I'm like, okay, that's taking some ownership. Well done by you.
That's great. Game 18.
And then game 18 is the Senators versus the Panthers, which is a 4-1 loss.
Yeah. But in this game, though, granted, Anderson did play this one, was not sharp, And he admitted to it, too. Again, whatever, because he's done so much for this team this year.
You get a bad one once in a while.
Yeah. And the team was they played great. Luongo was good, and there was a lot of bad luck chances, or whatever you want to call them at that point. But I think it was something like we out-Corsi'd them, essentially, or outshot. So shots on net, attempted shots, and shots that were blocked or something like that, 87-40 or something like that.
Yeah, I screenshotted that stat because it was crazy. 83-43. Shot attempts.
Yeah.
83-43.
So, and I was there. It was a good. I enjoyed it. It was the most exciting offensively styled game. It didn't result into goals.
And actually, the coach talked about that afterwards. He was saying, look, it was a hot goalie. That we had a lot of shot attempts. We had a lot of good chances, but Luongo played really well. And this was also a game with no Ryan after the broken finger, no Hoffman. No MacArthur.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
And there was...
You're missing your whole second line there.
Yeah. Like, all of it. Yeah. Oops.
And it was interesting, though, too, because they put Pumple up on the first line in the first period. Second period, they put Lazar up. By the third, Pumple was on the bench.
Well, wasn't Dzingel up there as well for a little while?
Dzingel's left wing, I think.
Oh, okay. I can't keep it all straight. So, I know people were being moved all around.
Yeah.
After this game... Andrew Hammond was waived and Matt Pumple. Well, it's actually first Andrew Hammond was waived and cleared waivers.
Before that,
he refused a conditioning stint, which I don't understand why he would do that, but he did. And then he was waived and he's cleared waivers, so he is being sent down to Binghamton,
mm-hmm.
which I find interesting. Saying, okay, team knows something we don't know because they usually do. And yesterday, Matt Pumple was waived and he was claimed by New York.
Yep.
So, do you want to talk about that a little bit first? Because there have been a couple. That's today's news. You might as well talk about today's news, and then we'll get into some email, because there's lots to talk about with email.
So, Matt Pumple is a ghost.
Yep. I didn't realize he had played 55 games.
It's over 3 years.
But still, I didn't realize it was that many.
He's a ghost.
There was some gnashing of teeth on the radio today with people going, oh, well, you know, he's still an asset and we shouldn't have lost him that way. It's like, well,
doesn't matter.
You can't keep him sitting around. You can't keep him sitting around. So you got to do something. And Pierre Dorion was on the radio saying, well, you know, if you look at the people who've been picked up on waivers so far this year, there's been quite a number of them. And they've all been people who were good at scoring in junior.
Mm-hmm.
And the team that they were with, it hasn't worked out with them. Sorry to see him leave, but these things happen.
If he's that good a player, why is he in the position where you have to put him on waivers?
Well, and I mean, there was some talk about, oh, well, that's three first-round picks from the 2011 draft, and none of them are with us anymore. And
well, that does suck.
Well, it does, but we have had some things back for them. It's not like they're gone with no return.
Those three? Well, yeah, that's true, I guess.
Ryan and Broussard.
Yeah.
And, I mean, if you also count the third round pick, that's Shane Prince. He's gone from that draft. Mm-hmm. But we still have two players from that draft on the big team, which are Ryan Dezingel and Jean-Gabriel Pageau.
It's taken a lot more than those two guys to get them, though.
But, yeah, but we still have two of them. So, I mean, it was a deep draft, and we have not every draft.
No, that wasn't a great draft year either.
For this team, we had a lot of them.
Overall, the 2011 draft was not wonderful.
No, but we had a lot of them, and we still have players from that draft. It's not like that year is a complete washout. It's just not every player works
out. It's not a muckler year.
But that's exactly what you would not want to happen that year when we had all the three first-round picks. That was the tank year. It wasn't really a tank, but, you know, that was our bad year where we drafted high.
Yeah.
If you had told me back then that this is what would happen, oh, man, that would...
Then we would have traded Spets at that point and gotten rid of other guys.
But, whatever. I mean, not every year is going to be a good draft year, and not all first-round picks work out. It doesn't matter whether they're drafted 6th or 20th or 28th or whether they're a 7th-round pick. Some work out and some don't.
And
we got a bad record lately, though, it feels like. Of the first rounders. After Carlson?
Well, let's see.
Lazar.
Lazar.
We could throw in like guys like
Colin White isn't up yet. Shabbat isn't up yet. Logan Brown isn't up yet.
So let's hope that's the turning point.
So, well, yeah. But our later round draft picks are doing better than our first round draft picks.
And like what I texted to you guys, it's... We seem to, especially that year, underperformed in the top rounds and overperformed in the bottom rounds.
Yep. Yeah. So, okay. I mean, we have two of our own sixth and seventh round pick on this team right now. Mark Stone and Ryan Dezingel. If we drafted them in the first round, people would be happy. But they're not going, oh my God, we got them late.
It's just unfortunate that we couldn't get someone, in reality, that you didn't get someone better in that round. Going through the list, I don't see anyone better than what we got.
Well, I see
outside
one.
Of Shifley.
I was going to say Mark Shifley, which was the pick when everybody in the hockey world went, what are they thinking when they picked him 7th?
Yeah.
And I didn't know anything about him, but everybody, I mean, from the TSN experts on down, were going, oh, he should be around 40.
Mm-hmm.
And Sheveldayoff said, wait for it, guys. Because he was getting shelled. Said, wait for it. I have confidence in this kid. And, hey, he was right.
Yeah, I think
he was right. He and Laine are... dynamite this year. Absolute dynamite. Yeah. I mean, Laine is a hell of a resource by himself, but the two of them together are just brilliant. I'm impressed.
Yeah, I wonder if Toronto kind of regrets that.
Whatever.
I hope Laine wins it.
Oh, absolutely. He should, at least at the pace he's going at right now.
Yeah. What's he going to see with that? And also, all the complaints about that drafter. And yes, I know there's some familiarity, but it's not the same GM.
Yeah.
And essentially, Murray got fired, guys.
And then the other news was Hammond that you mentioned happening.
Mm. Yeah,
I'm not really sure how to feel about that. It feels like some other story is there that we don't know yet.
Well, that's usually the case.
Well, he didn't want to lose his job because he got injured.
So going for a conditioning stunt would have helped his cause.
I agree, and that's why I found it such a mystery that he didn't take a conditioning stint. Here, go down, play some games. Make sure you get back into game shape rather than doing that in the NHL.
It's 2 weeks.
Yeah. Now he's down there indefinitely.
Yep. And what happens if the big team slides and they need a goalie?
Which one do they call up? I don't know.
I'm thinking they pull up Drieger.
They might. I would think they'd probably pull up Hammond
first. If the team's out, get Drieger some reps.
Oh, they might want to keep him away if the team's out.
No. You tell him it's no pressure. It's not like he's opening up a home opener against Montreal or anything.
We'll see. I have no idea.
Thanks, Milner.
But again, with that, now he's given the team more options.
Yeah.
That he could have just been down for 2 weeks and then been forced to come back up and a trade would have been done at the NHL level.
Yeah, well... straight could still happen at the NHL level. Who knows?
Yeah. And I think expansion draft is really going to kick in on that.
Was his contract 2 years or three?
It's three.
It's three. So it's one more after this year.
It's the year that I didn't want them to give him.
1.35
or something like that?
Okay.
It's not much. Expansion draft might make him tradable, but he's got to play well.
We'll see. Got to play well. Yeah. Well,
otherwise, they might buy him out. Who cares?
Or that some team might want him to put him on their team so that he looks attractive to Vegas, so they can protect another goalie.
No, because you only protect one. So that's a little bit of a difference from when Ottawa went into expansion.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the teams had to expose? This was very much like Thomas Vokoun from Montreal.
Yeah,
because you had to expose a goalie. Now it's the opposite, where you're protecting.
You're only protecting one. Well, that's we'll save talk about the expansion draft, because I've got tons of questions about it, but it'll come in a future episode because we've got lots of other things to talk about tonight. I think we should get into email, since it's going to cover pretty much anything we wanted to talk about, and people have been kind enough to write it.
Yep.
Cannot talk much. You want to read the first one? It's good and long.
Yeah, sure. I think I'm going to start first with a voicemail.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
You know what really grinds my gears? When I go to sendscallups.com and then click on the email link and nothing happens. Love you guys.
Well, thank you, anonymous voicemail leaver. I did go look, and the button should work just fine. It's a typical mail to hyperlink, so it opens up your default email client. So if you didn't have a default email client, maybe it didn't work for you. Having said that, I did just modify it tonight so that it actually writes out the name of the email address. So if for some reason that's not working, you could just read it off and type it in yourself. So thanks for the tip, and thanks for the chuckle.
Excellent. Well done.
So first email, who does that belong to? Brock?
From Brock.
Yeah. Oh, boy. All right, we got an email from Brock. It says, all right, enough already. I'll send you a damn email. Hey, guys. Last time I wrote you, I was thankful for you keeping me updated on the hockey world while I was in London, UK. This time, I'm still grateful as I'm back home in South Florida, where at least I'm in the correct time zone, but hockey is never top of mind. I live in the same building as Aaron Ekblad and play in two beer leagues, but I can still barely talk hockey with anyone not directly related to me. Even without any audience content, I still enjoy the show and appreciate what you guys are doing for the Sens community. I apologize for the length of the email, but you literally asked for it. So, here's what I'd like to have you guys debate on the next episode. I believe the NHL goalie is the single most influential position of any major team sport. I, however, am not the most knowledgeable about other sports, so I'd like to hear what you guys think, and if you think you put any other position above it, like NFL quarterback, for example. I'm thinking along the lines of a single player who has the most impact on the quality of the team and their performance as a whole. The topic arose the other day, and I used the Canadiens of last season as my basis of the argument, with the meteoric rise and fall and without Price and Net. This was unfortunately before what would have been a perfect cherry in the figurative argument cake that was the 10-0 shelling they took against the Columbus. The running out of cannonballs joke was great, by the way. To my mind, the ability to single-handedly steal a game is unmatched, with a hot goalie basically able to stop even a crazy 2-0 in some cases with a bit of luck. Lastly, a couple of things that really grind my gears. When drivers in the lane that is clearly marked as a merging lane expect you, in the lane with the right-of-way, to make room for them. Now, I usually do give them some room as a courtesy, especially when there's traffic, and it's common practice to go one for one from each lane to keep things flowing. However, when there's not heavy traffic and they blindly cut out without putting on their signal and care in the world, and they are merging, and I have to slam on my brakes, that's ridiculous to me. Also, bleep whoever puts butter in the fridge. You can't spread that crap. Sorry for the language, but this segment really lends itself to cursing. Anywho, I hope this email helps out, and I'm sure to keep them coming if anything else worth talking about. I'm trying to make it up to Ottawa for the holidays, and I'm praying I'll be able to make it to the Alpha game. I'll reach out again closer to the trip and see if I can grab you guys a beer or two while I'm there. All the best, Brock.
Excellent. Thank you, Brock. The first question, by the way, I agree about butter in the fridge, but that's... And drivers who merge without looking. Very good.
Get out of my house.
Single most influential professional athlete position other than a goalie. I'd say a football quarterback.
Football quarterback
would be up there. The other one,
baseball pitcher.
No.
I was actually going to say the captain of a Ryder Cup team.
What? Curling?
Golf. Because they decide all the matchups and everything else for the other players. But they also play.
Lead angler on a fishing boat.
Hey, if you're fishing out of the wrong side of the boat, you can have somebody catch you on one side and you're catching nothing. I've been through that. Mostly because I was operating the motor and too busy to fish. But anyway, I'd say other than a quarterback.
The one reason I'd say quarterback over all the other positions that you said?
Mm-hmm.
How much does the starting quarterback play of the season?
He plays the whole season.
There
most
you go.
Most of it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, what about the argument against the Denver Broncos last season?
Well, the only thing about that is they only play half a game because they're not on the field when the defense is on the field.
Yeah, but you're really looking quarterback versus quarterback. Would generally again, I'm not a football fan, but would generally not the better quarterback have the better chance to win?
No. No, you can have a great quarterback, but unless your great quarterback has a great offensive line and good receivers and a good running back and a good tight end, you can have the greatest quarterback in the world, but unless he's got good tools around him, he's not going to go anywhere. And a good defense can often...
Yeah, I heard on the radio today.
Uh-oh.
Roethlisberger has more wins in... As many wins in Cleveland as any other Cleveland...
In that stadium, yeah.
Quarterback has in that stadium.
In that stadium, yeah. It's very true.
You know, guys, I'm not going goalie, although I respectfully understand the argument. I'm not going quarterback because, again, I totally get it. I'm going pitcher of a ball game. My subject material is take a look at the American League Champions Series and look up Andrew Miller.
True. But that's only one game every five games.
Nope. Well, he played every game, and he shut down the Jays.
Oh, sorry.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah, but he didn't set the table, though. Did he set the table?
But he sure cleaned it up.
He didn't. I was going to say, he doesn't play a complete game. He comes in and keeps things tidy, but he's not playing the whole game versus a...
Your pitching crew is probably the most important.
Yeah. Your pitching staff, yeah. But I mean, that's a whole group of people.
I think he single-handedly won that series.
No, he. But the starting pitchers also set the table. Because
yep.
I don't think.
But Jay's he cleaned up. I don't.
Doing the dishes doesn't make you a chef.
Well, clearly.
I was listening to an article or an episode of The Current on the way out here, and they were talking about Julia Child, so that's where that came
from. Going to McDonald's doesn't make you a cheeseburger either, but hey.
Diabetes is all Hannah's fault.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you, Brock, for that email. That was excellent. Do you want me to read the next one?
I can try it.
Or you try it. Okay.
Again, who knows how much I'm going to stumble in this, but... Who knows? From Texas Chad. Gentlemen, so sorry to hear that you had no email last show. Trump wins the election. Oh, boy. Trump wins the election and you get no email. The world is going to crap, my friends. Speaking of Trump, I did say on your airways that I would move to Canada if he won. Well, easier said than done with a wife and three kids here. But if an opportunity came my way, I would consider it for sure. People are being dragged out of their cars and beaten down here for having a Trump sticker on their window.
Whoa.
Anywho, two things for y'all. One, this year's Sens team is very Dallas Cowboys-like. I mean, no one expected Dallas to be any good, and same can be said for Ottawa. I'm enjoying this year's ride very much. Love the coaching change, and love, love, love Andy's focus, heart, and in image he projects. By image, I mean devoted to his wife and somehow able to have time to carry his team. The NFL is filled with garbage players doing garbage things. Mike Ribeiro, guys, come on now. Their ratings dropped. The ratings drops are deserved. I think the entire NHL needs to be on Andy's back. This guy is pure class. Two, love the armchair GM for the Las Vegas talk episode. To throw my thoughts out there, I would sign a stud goalie first and foremost. Agreed. I agree with Penn on Fleury. Oh, good. Next, I would add a hungry young core. Sprinkle in some gritty vets. Get some wins early.
Grit.
Ah, grit. Trade deadline, I would bring in some experience and make a run as deep as you can. Finally, the pick is from the hole at the Brahma's Golf Classic. I made you guys a sponsor just to show off the fancy new logo. I know it's cold up there, and we're just now having a golf tournament. Anywho, you guys are great as always. Now keep doing your part to make the podcasts great again. Chad.
And Chad's, he actually did put a sign up to sponsor a hole at this golf tournament with our new logo on it, which I thought was very cool. Thank you, Chad. Yeah. I'm sorry to hear, but I have to say, as a Canadian, I mean, we were not involved in the election. We were watching it from a distance.
Yeah.
And it was, I mean, we went through an election a year ago, and there was some mudslinging and name-calling and belittling going on. But
and
it was
what happened with that.
And it was, but it was nothing on the scale of the one that happened in the
and
U.S.
And also those that did the mudslinging got buried in the polls.
Oh, yeah, they shelled. But it's been rather strange. And I mean, the news that's been coming out since then is equally strange even today, but I'm still not going to comment on it.
Well, let's put it this way. They have Trump. We have snow. At least we can go out and shovel the snow.
True. And it does disappear in the spring. I wanted to say, I agree completely with Chad about Craig Anderson. He's been a very good image of what a professional athlete can be on the side of being a very decent human being as well. No, I mean, he's actually fairly private. He doesn't do a lot of public things with the team.
Agreed.
But I think his, or the decision that he and Nicole took to talk about this publicly has been A, very brave. Because, I mean, the public doesn't have a right to know. There were some people saying that, oh, we should know what's going on if he's away from the team. No, you don't need to know. The team has said, take your time away, whatever. Yeah. But deciding to go public with it speaks volumes of their character. And I think it also, at least to a certain extent, reflects the lessons learned with Brian Murray from 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And his decision to go public with his battle with cancer. So sort of a, no, I don't want to say corporate, but the image of the team as a whole, I think, is just better and better when you can get the chance to see the kind of, I hate saying quality people because it's such a cliche, but the genuine goodness in the people that are in both members of the team as well as the corporation that run the team as well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I can say more than that. I talk too much anyway.
The other thing I'll say, Chad, is he was enjoying the start, he said. Well, how are you enjoying it now?
That's okay. I'm all right with it. Still have a winning record. Do you want to read the next one, Pan? It's a more your style.
I'll get the one after it then.
Oh, okay.
From Homer's. Hi, guys. You're doing a great job. Carry on, Homer.
Thanks, Homer.
Oh, wait. We got another email, though, from Homer. I think it came in 30 seconds after that. Say, okay, now for the real email. Coach Boucher said it would take about 6 weeks for the team to adjust to the new system. Well, week six ends November 23rd, and so far we have a 9-5-1 record and on pace for a 104-point season. Really? Wow.
At the time.
Okay. Not bad for a team still learning the new system and a goalie dealing with difficult issues at home. Our scoring has been down, but so have our goals allowed. Overall, they seem to be playing better as a team and have tightened up defensively. That said, I hope our offense can pick it up a bit, as we won't be able to hold off the other teams to just one goal a game. I would also like to make the games more entertaining. Like Cardinal, I'm impressed with Payette. He's a very well-rounded player who reads the game well. I can see him coaching someday, and wouldn't surprise me if he ends up as an assistant to Boucher someday. They seem to have a good working relationship. I'm not surprised that the Sens won't be hosting a game on Parliament Hill. There's way too much red tape and security concerns to deal with. I guess they're now in talks with having the game at Lansdowne. November 24th is also the update for LeBreton Flats. Oh, I wonder how much tweaking will have been done to the original proposal. Hope they can break ground soon. Keep it up. Yeah, keep it up with the show. Homer.
Mm. Thanks.
Right at the beginning, we talked about the team's performance. I would have felt the same way with them a week ago, which is when this email was sent. Now, oh boy.
Had a couple of bad ones as far as goals against. What?
Canucks losing it.
Losing what?
Oh, yeah, and my faith in the team. Yeah, it's getting rattled right now. Yeah.
Mine isn't yet. I'm realizing they're dealing with a rash of injuries and players moving around at the moment. I didn't think they could sustain the pace of how many wins they were getting with one goal or less. And I do wish the scoring would kick in, but the game against Florida, if that had been against a more non-superhuman goalie, I think the result would have been very different.
And so, for me, I missed that game. I saw the ones leading up to it, and the power play, atrocious. Went right back to zero before the Florida game. It looked horrible. They were standing still again. Defensive play, getting out of their zone, they couldn't do it. At least this was the game I saw versus Nashville. It was embarrassing. And then, of course, we got the goal scoring concern. So it really felt like it was a serious regression. I'm just lucky to squeeze out the wins they did leading up to it.
The one good thing so far that's still in play is the penalty kill is still third in the league.
Mm-hmm.
The penalty kill is still very, very good, but the power play is... It started...
It's
weird,
the worst in the league again.
Can you teach defense or can you teach offense?
You teach defense.
Offense is skill. Offense is pure talent. You can teach defense.
True. To at least a certain extent. You can certainly... I think that they can...
Why do we have so many guys moving around right now?
Because they're all trying to feed the puck to somebody else to take a shot.
I mean, in roster-wise, with Pumple coming down and Hamming going down and all this stuff.
Because you don't have the talent to fill the spots.
There's something going on.
There's also a problem with injuries, which doesn't
help. There's some injuries, but then you don't send guys down.
Well, they're sending some guys down to bring somebody else up. Right? I wouldn't be surprised if Buddy Robinson was called up for the next game.
Well, Lazar's called up, right?
Yeah.
Lazar's up now, and Hoffman is hoping to be back for the next game. Ryan, maybe by the weekend, was the latest report was today when Coach Boucher dropped in to the radio studio at the CTC very briefly on their way to go and catch the train.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see.
Yeah. I probably have you to blame for this, Cardinal, but I am totally fine with the team's going because I'm looking at a big picture now. So it's taken you like 5 years to train me properly.
You're welcome. I was like, where is this going?
Yeah, something's wrong when I'm like griping and Pan's calming me down.
Oh, yeah, believe me, I was reading that on my phone today because we were messaging back and forth. I was like, wait a minute, I'm arguing with Canuck and Pan's agreeing with me. This is the fifth horseman of the apocalypse. Something is really, really wrong.
2016's a bitch, man.
It's been a weird year, for sure. There was a little bit of info on LeBreton Flats. I think it was last week that there had been some meetings between. I mean, obviously the meetings are ongoing between the NCC and the Ottawa Senators led bid. Was it Rendezvous LeBreton?
Rendezvous, I think.
There we go. About certain things that would need to be tweaked and some changes that would be going on and trying to nail down a schedule and that sort of thing. There wasn't a whole lot of substance to it. There was just sort of talk about what it might be. There were a couple of artist renditions of what, the one that I saw of the arena looked different from the one I remember from the bid, like 6 months ago.
Can they just copy what they have in Edmonton, please?
More washrooms though.
Oh yeah. I forgot about that.
Needs more washrooms. And cowbells. Okay. But
needs more dog.
All right. Anything else you want to talk about from
he intro'd the outdoor game. We should probably talk about that.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you want to touch on Melnick's editorial?
Well, that's perfect timing. That
this kind of it does
flow. Yeah, fill it in here, sure, if you want.
Who's doing it?
Okay. So
we're gonna disagree on this, I think.
I actually don't think we will. So Eugene came out, wrote an editorial that the Citizen published.
Well, should we say what it was about, though? Press set it up first?
Someone else set it up.
Oh, well, basically, Melnick wrote a reply to the Ottawa Citizen editorial board that they had been there had been an editorial, I think, earlier in the week was criticizing him for lack of information or progress coming out with regards to a game since it had been kiboshed having it up on Parliament Hill. Why aren't things moving forward, and why aren't we hearing things about Parliament Hill? And is there some sort of stubbornness on Melnick's behalf to not want to do that?
I didn't know there was a previous editorial.
Yeah, there was. That's what he was replying to.
Right. Well,
that's what, he was basically replying to the criticism that had been implied from earlier writings by the Citizen about the whole outdoor game concept.
What I was getting at is for the outside listeners is that we were talking about having an outdoor game next year and it seemed to be on track, and they wanted to have it at Parliament Hill, and the government came out and said, no, you can't. In short.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Yeah. It was a long shot. Everybody knew it was a long shot.
And the public did kind of assume that, okay, well, if that's down, just put it lands down.
Mm-hmm.
That seems easy.
But it seems to be the senator's position is, no, if it can't be in Parliament Hill, we don't want it. Bettman said it. Melnick pretty much said it.
Exactly.
And then he went on the offensive with this editorial.
Well, what did you want to say? I'll let you go first.
No, I'm going to let you start.
Okay. A couple of things about this. When the interview with Gary Bettman, he also changed when Gary Bettman was saying that Ottawa may not be interested in an outdoor game. He also changed the date that it would be, because the date that we had already heard about, talked about in Ottawa, was December 19th, I think. Just before Christmas. And then the interview with Gary Bettman last week was that he mentioned an outdoor game for Founders Day,
which no one's ever heard of before.
Exactly. Founders Day is the date that the papers were signed at the Windsor Hotel in Montreal to found the National Hockey League. And Founders Day, just so you know, is November 26th. Now, November 26th is kind of going to be, it's going to be a kind of busy day in Ottawa next year, because we're hosting the Grey Cup on November 26th. So it would be impossible to do an outdoor game that day. So where that date came from, I don't know.
Something's fishy.
Something was going a little wonky on that one, for sure.
And to be honest, if they would have it on the same day as a Grey Cup, I'm boycotting the hockey game.
Well, it would be foolish to do that. Absolutely foolish.
It is foolish, but, well, the Leafs tend to do that to the CFL all the time. They always steal their thunder.
That's the Leafs.
But there, I would boycott it.
Oh, I wouldn't be interested for sure. But I can't see them doing it. It just makes no logical sense.
Well, it would be in the afternoon, and then the Grey Cup would be at the night. But it's just a logistical nightmare, and you're taken away from all the pregame festivity. The whole, like, Grey Cup's a big weekend thing. Well, you wouldn't do it on Super Bowl weekend.
No, and think of simply from the concept of you're trying to hold two massive events which need a lot of security and a lot of, well, quite frankly, policing, even if it's all friendly. You know, you're not looking for a riot or anything, but you need a lot of policing and security and everything else. You can't do two in one day in the same city. It's just ludicrous.
Right. So here's my problem with the whole thing is when they first mentioned this idea that we're going to have an outdoor game next year, and the first idea was on Parliament Hill, I think if you could probably rewind our podcast, you probably would find me, and probably not the only one, was kind of like, what? Like, that doesn't sound like a great idea. But yeah, I have to admit that over time, as I thought about it, warmed up to it, I realized that, you know what? That would make great theater on TV, and it would be so different from the other outdoor games where they were pretty much done in football or baseball stadiums. So I was starting to get on board with it, and was starting to warm up. Now, okay, that seems to be the kibosh seems to be put on that. Now, we could get into the reasons they said, oh, well, we can't do that. And I question a lot of the reasons. I mean, I think they could have done things. Don't think it takes 3 months to set up a rink, but what do I know? There's stuff about that I don't like. However, it seems to be there's no plan B. And that's what's, I think, setting off all the negativity.
Yeah. It sounded like Melnick being stubborn as always.
I actually, from listening to him talk about it, as well as reading, well, actually, or listen to Ian Mendez read the reply or the editorial letter that he sent to the Citizen, really, the way it came off to me was Eugene Melnyk really wanted, if there was going to be an outdoor game, he wanted it to be something special. He wanted it to be something different. He wanted it to be something, because, I mean, quite frankly, we're all sick of them. I mean, I didn't even know there was one happening.
It's different when it's your own team.
That's exactly
well,
it.
Yeah,
and in your
but
own
I mean,
city.
True, but for the rest of them, I don't care. I didn't even know there was one happening in Winnipeg.
That's
if
right.
It happens here, if it happens here, that'd be great. But I don't have a problem with him wanting to make it something different, especially because it would be on the, you know, it's part of the Canada 150th anniversary.
Mm-hmm. No, so, I don't have a problem with that either, but it does come across a little bit my way of the highway.
It does, but the thing that was pointed out last week that I had forgotten about is that the team doesn't get the revenue from these outdoor games. They don't. The ticket revenue does not go to the team itself. It goes to the league. And if this is going to happen...
That doesn't even make sense.
The team is made whole first, though.
The team's made whole.
So they see what the pricing would be for a gold game, and as long as the ticket revenue is above that, you get your share for a sellout.
But there's no extra.
Not on that, but then you get your merch sales, you get your concessions.
But the extra 10,000 ticket revenue goes to the league. It doesn't go to the
right,
team.
Right, but then that also comes back to you.
Okay. I had forgotten about the make it whole part, but he... So basically, that would take away part of my reluctance then, because if this is going to be a game, I presume against Montreal,
Chicago would never do this for free every year.
Well, I was wondering why this was going on, but if it means he still gets the same revenue as before, okay. But quite frankly, it's his team, and if he doesn't want to do a game at Lansdowne Park for whatever reason,
we all know what that reason is.
Well, there was, we don't know if it still exists. There was an awful lot of friction between OSEG and the Ottawa Senators for a number of years over a number of different things. But they do work together because OSEG put the 67s out at the Canadian Tire Centre for 2 years while TD Place, as it's now known, was being rebuilt.
That's a good point.
The 67s just played a game in the CTC last week. Because their school day game, which was 18,000 school kids at the game, was played at the Canadian Tire Centre. So they do work together. It's not as if they refuse to have anything to do with each other. They do work together when it's mutually beneficial, and if they can, they work out ways to make it happen. So there must be something else going on that's not just Senators versus OSEG. It's not just the league changing the date on it. It's not whatever. I don't know what it is. It's complicated, but I think there are far too many people are just using it as an excuse to dump on the owner of this team like they do for absolutely everything else that goes wrong.
Well, he brings it on himself sometimes. There is that. The other thing, too, is he decided in his little tirade to bring up, I can't even sell out every game. Look at our record. And why aren't you coming to take my product, you guys? That sort of mentality, and apologies, I'm getting tired here, but the kind of analogy is, if I own a store, you're just kind of making fun of your customers and kind of bitching on them.
Business owners should never yell or give crap to its customers.
You might want to. I totally get that.
And in my opinion, in regards to the low attendance, there's a pile of things. One, we haven't made the playoffs in 2 years straight. I don't remember the last time the team hasn't done that.
It's been, true.
Two, the federal government is not paying their employees. They're months behind.
Yeah, and I mean, this being a government town, there are a lot of people who are struggling to make ends meet because they're not getting paid.
Yeah, and with that, because I've talked to other business owners and for restaurants and other places, business is down everywhere.
It is.
So if those small business owners have a lower revenue, well, guess what? They can't spend on the perks either for themselves or for giveaways for employees or clients.
Well, if you're struggling to put food on the table and pay your mortgage, you have an entertainment budget of zero.
Yeah.
So
three, it's not. And I know that there's some people, and we started unfollowing them all through our accounts.
Thank you.
It's just. All the time, it's just arguments and arguments and arguments. And if you listen, if you follow the guys that make sense, like Sense Chirp, like Raymakers is also a very good one. in my opinion, like you've got the diehards, and that's the 11,000 season ticket holders,
yep,
which seems low to me. But again, and people may have had to cancel this year because of the pay.
They just don't have the money.
And money's tight already. Money's real tight. But the diehards will still go to the games as much as they can. Other people that are the latent fans, and I did studies with this in business school, actually with the Senators back in the day, the latent fan is probably on a wait-and-see mentality. Having a game, a home game, a third of the month in November is negative.
There are a lot of them.
Yeah, it's 10 in November.
Yeah.
So that's a lot. There's been a lot of expensive games over the same week. People are saving up for the Detroit game.
Exactly. I was going to bring that up.
Because that's the cost of three or four games in one.
Mm-hmm. That's the Alfie game, the Detroit game, the Alfie retirement game.
And so the Leighton fan is just waiting and seeing. Once the team starts to get on a roll, they'll probably buy tickets at that point. The team hasn't done it. As a diehard, I know what the team is doing. I get why they're playing the system that they do, because this will help them out over the next 2 to 3 years.
Yeah.
But again, I do a podcast. This is all I do. Really, that's out of my work. This is all I do.
Well, I was wondering, Canuck, did you want to chime in here? Sorry.
No, go ahead.
Okay. I was wondering if, and this is going to sound a little crazy, I was wondering if people got so used to the adrenaline buzz of the Hamburglar run 2 years ago.
Yep.
I mean, that was second only to the Stanley Cup run of 2007 as far as being an unbelievable rush every single night of what this team could do. Mm-hmm. And last year was a letdown from that as far as, and this year they have a winning record, but people are complaining the games aren't exciting. Well, they're structured. Last year might've been exciting, but they were a dog's breakfast as far as being anything as good hockey.
Right.
So I'm wondering if people are just expecting the Hamburglar run rush of adrenaline all the time.
They'll wait and see.
I think so. Yeah.
They're waiting to get that rush before they'll get back into it. And I mean, that was a record breaking run.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're expecting it to be that good and that exciting and that intense and that driven, well, maybe if we get on a Stanley Cup run, but you're not going to get that in the regular season.
When you see the team start to score 4 or 5 goals a game,
it would certainly help.
It's
for
gonna,
sure.
It's going to change things
for sure.
But to quote two people, first I'll quote you, Cardinal.
Uh oh.
Eugene Melnyk, stop talking.
Oh, I've said that. Yep.
He never should have posted the editorial, and he should have kept his mouth shut.
True. Oh, I don't disagree. I don't.
Second, I'll quote Ryan Dzingel. Everyone needs to calm down.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah, they do. I think fans need to be a little patient and a bit more supportive and everything else. But I mean, I will say as much as the next person that I have limited resources. I don't have them unlimited money. I'm not rich or anything. And I've already bought. I have money for you later today. I already bought tickets for the Alfredson retirement game because that's what's important to me. Not going to a game on a Tuesday night in November. That's not important to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and I mean, it's important to me.
And because of the cost of that, how many games are you going to go to this year?
Probably none because, and I mean, on that particular point, I think the Senators are being ridiculous in the amount that they are trying to gouge their fan base.
Oh, they're gouging big time.
And I think that's not helping.
You've got to run your business models. If it makes sense to you, it's fine.
Well, it may be a good business model.
You've got to know what the consequences are.
And I hope someone's done their business model properly, but I'm wondering if the low attendance right now is a bit of a backlash.
I don't think they've done it quite properly. I think because they probably thought it was all going to sell out, so they only restricted the game. They restricted the game to season ticket holders. And then it's like, okay, well, maybe we can do it with the 11 packs. Okay, we're still not sold out. Let's do it with the 5 packs. 3 packs?
2 packs.
2 packs?
They're down to a 2-pack.
Hard to say, yeah.
I mean, that's just a bad Grammy Award right there, but...
Yeah. Grab me?
2-pack? Isn't he a singer? Rapper? I don't know.
I'll go kill
him. Yeah, he's dead.
Sorry.
Moving on.
Next email?
And with that, like, seriously, you can vote with your wallet or if you can go vote with your feet if you're always complaining. I'm good. Colonel's just going to grab another drink here.
Oh, you pass me one?
Yeah. I'll email it to you.
Oops. No, you broke it.
I broke your fridge. Maybe that's what's making noise. I'll fix that after.
Okay. Next email. Do we have another email?
We have two more.
Do you want to throw in a voicemail in?
Do you want to throw that other voicemail in there, Canuck?
I think it's a Grandma Gears.
Oh. Okay. Okay. Well, then we'll hold it then. I haven't listened to it. Beer explosion. Explosion. It's close. Do you want me to read this one or the next one?
How about I read the next one while you work with your beer there?
Okay, I'll read the last one.
Okay, so we got an email from Gareth that says, keep it up. Hey guys, first off, I have to say, keep it up. I'm a newfie and a huge Sens fan who lives in Southern California. It is brutal trying to stay in touch with hockey news down here. Your show is awesome. It takes me back to chilling with my university pals ranting about hockey. Easy listening since I can get it in my Tesla via Slacker and you don't have to go on and on about the Leafs or the Canadians. Huh. a few thoughts for your next show. One, the PK is simple and awesome until last night's shorty. Minor glitch. Two, entry into the zone on the power play seems to be one of the biggest obstacles. No speed, forced to dump and chase or carry and encounter a wall of defenders at the blue line. The opposition only has to play 3-1 formation to stand us up. Third, around the 12 to 14 minute mark of the third last night versus the Wild, I noticed four different exits that were horrible in a 2 to 3 minute span. Twice we couldn't make it out of our own zone without coughing up the puck and retreating. Twice more, we couldn't get through the neutral zone. The transition game is sloppy at times. Typically not the first pass, but the receiver is jammed or that second pass gets picked off. And last, I'm sure you saw this on Twitter, but Predators versus Senators on election night in the U.S. Really? Someone has a bad sense of humor? Looking forward to the next episode. Cheers, Gareth.
Thanks, Gareth. Well, I think we already talked about that particular problem in the Wild game. Mm-hmm. I forgot that it was mentioned here, but very true.
From what I recall, Minnesota is apparently a very strong defensive team, too.
No.
I don't know enough about the West. It's an East-West game, guys. Who cares?
It's unfortunate, but at least it wasn't a divisional game. So,
yeah. I do find it interesting, though, that we've allowed more goals against on the power play than we have on the penalty kill.
Ooh, that's an ouchie.
The hell? Explain that from last year. What is the opposite, dude?
Well, we were scoring a lot of shorthanded last year.
Yeah, but we're letting them all in.
Thank you, Gareth. Feel free to write again.
Gareth, I definitely did notice the power play issue where they skate across the blue line, dump it to a guy standing still. Puck ends up right down back on their end of the ice. It was infuriating watching that. And it happened again against the Predators. It was embarrassing.
And the power play's entry into zone is just not working because they're almost like they're slowing down in the neutral zone and then they dump it in and they're not fast enough to get it. They're not getting to it, not dumping it in with speed so that they can get past the people who are trying to stand them up at the blue line and go and get it.
Yeah.
And they're not moving around. They're standing still. Drives me crazy.
From what Boucher said in the summer, I thought that the power play was going to be more or tighter together.
Well,
and play within the dots, not outside. And they seem to be a real perimeter right now.
They're real perimeter, and they're not collapsing in because they're playing around the perimeter and not taking a shot.
I don't remember which 5-on-3 it was, but I could see it was Carlson and I don't know who, probably Hoffman or someone like that, on the points. And they kept inching up to shrink the box. And then Carlson just wired it. Of course, he missed the net and popped all the way back to Anderson.
Mm.
So,
got to work on that.
You've got to not wind up from the point in that position and just get it on goal.
Mm-hmm. Well, hopefully. Hopefully. I mean,
it'll come.
83 shots directed towards the net. Not bad. net. Just need to get a few more on the net and in the net, actually. Exactly.
Shoot! On net!
Actually, somebody said that on the radio the other day. I think this team needs to listen to Shoot Guy up in the stands. Like, okay. I can go with that. All right, last email. I'll read this one. This is from longtime listener Josh DeLorme. Hey, boys. Throughout this extremely long-storing slump the team has been on, the positive I always clung to was the fact that we were limiting the other team's chances. Over the last few games, written after the second loss to Nashville, the Sens have been giving up a lot of shots against, going into the 40s for some games. Do you think this is a result of the players really feeling the pressure to score, and are they resorting to old habits, or is it something else? Also, to all those fans on Twitter constantly finding something to complain about, oh, yes, I love them too. Specifically talking about those people who are always complain about boring hockey. We used to have a team that was always scoring goals but never played defense, and that got us nowhere. This year, Boucher and co. are trying to implement a system where this team can be successful by playing defense and scoring goals. As Boucher says, focus on the defense and keep getting your opportunities on offense and the goals will come. I try to always think positive for this team, which is why I'm now decided to limit my time on Sens Twitter. According to all those people, the Sens are the worst team in the league and have an incredibly bad losing record. Another point. I don't live in the Ottawa area, and I would love to go to games. I know that if I lived in the Ottawa area, I would be pretty much at every home game. To the fans that aren't showing up to their home games, for years, people have been screaming for this team to get an experienced coaching staff, for the team to play proper defense, and now that it's happening, albeit in stages, fans are still not showing up. I know there are two sides to this, Melnick not wanting to spend and not doing much to give the fans a reason to go to the games. Mm-hmm. How is this for a reason? The city actually has an NHL hockey team. Granted, they don't spend to the cap, but we can simply enjoy the fact that a small city like Ottawa can have an NHL franchise and a successful one at that when you compare to other teams in the league. I apologize for the long email, but you guys always complain that people don't email the show enough, so here it is. Keep up the great work. Have a cold beer on me. Josh. P.S. I thought it was an unbelievable little ceremony the Sens put on for Mike Fisher. Always loved him in Ottawa. Glad to see him wearing the C in Nashville.
He's the best third-line center we ever had.
Most expensive third-line center we ever had. Very true. Thanks, Josh. We've covered parts of this already. I agree I agree with you, especially on the negative boo birds on Twitter, as I've mentioned for pretty much all five seasons we've been doing this.
Yeah, Twitter's not for you.
No. Well, it is for me. It's just not Sens Twitter isn't for me. Some things about Twitter really
it's all over the place. It's not just Sens Twitter.
Listen, the biggest troll of them all is now the president of the United States of America.
Well, the thinnest skinned one. I'll give you that.
Kind of looking at what you're seeing, some of the games where they're allowing 40 shots against, I noticed that when Condon was playing, his rebound control isn't fantastic.
No?
So I can't remember the last game he played. I think it was...
Well, he played in the...
I don't know if he got shelled.
He got shelled for 4-1 or 5-1, and he was having trouble. His rebound control was what was giving them a second and third shot, and they were getting the shot on goal. He stopped an awful lot of them.
So that was really, if Anderson plays it, it's a 20-shot game.
Yeah, exactly.
And that one probably would have been like a 2-2 tie somehow. So
again, it's a work in progress. I don't expect them to be, you know, at the top of every single stat in this league in 2 months. I expect it from Boucher, quite frankly, in about 18 months. I'd like it sooner, but I like to temper my expectations with reality.
I'm 6 weeks.
Yeah, well, I'm a glass half full kind of guy. Glass half full kind of guy, not glass half empty.
Calm down.
Exactly. Thank you, Ryan DeZingle. Thanks, everybody. That's, 35, 40 minutes worth of content, which we didn't have to generate? That's great. I didn't have too many things to talk about. I listed a whole lot of players that we could talk about. I didn't really have a lot to say that hasn't already been said by people here, to be really honest. So,
I'll just kind of pick through this. Ryan DeZingle is by far my favorite player this season.
Always DeZingle.
Yeah.
It's always DeZingle.
And he's been told today, Pierre Dorion said, I told him to get a place.
Well, mortgage rates just went up. Not that I know anything about that.
But he's no longer going to be staying in a hotel. He's like, nope, you're staying. You know, he's been staying in a hotel for the first, six, 7 weeks?
These guys do for nutrition.
Yeah, room service, but you can order whatever you want.
Is an athlete supposed to eat room service all the time?
Well, they're supposed to eat healthy, but I mean, if I'm sure whatever hotel they stay in, and if it's the same
Stardust hotel, Motel.
Well, if it's the same
hotel,
it is Brookside, I think, because that's where a lot of other teams stay when they're here. Mm-hmm. Now, if the team has an arrangement with Brookside saying, "Hello, we have players staying there. We need to have healthy meals and that sort of stuff."
Yeah,
they'll get pretty much what they want. Okay, we need to have a lot of protein, and we need this, and we need that, and we need it at these weird hours. We'll take care of you because you're a good client, and you send a lot of business our way. I don't see that being on.
Meanwhile, Craig Anderson walks in and says, "Hey, I've got this recipe for chicken."
Yeah.
No.
Okay, you're only allowed to cook nuggets. No, because that would be a deep fryer. That could be dangerous, too.
It just don't cook.
Hey, I like to cook. Yeah. That's different.
What else do I have here? People dump on Hoffman's defensive game. Get over it.
Yeah.
Get over it.
Stop it. That's all I have to say on the matter.
He's gotten so many game-winning goals. Enough.
I'm tired of an awful lot of the dumping that goes on. I mean, if somebody has a bad game and it's a genuinely bad game, that's, people have them.
Like, Lazar had a beautiful assist on Florida's fourth goal.
Yeah, that was ugly. It was a beautiful assist because if he had been able to make that play, it would have been beautiful. It just didn't work.
Yep, but it was a great assist.
It was a great assist, and, I don't fault him for it. I don't fault him for it.
Yeah.
What do you guys think of Bobby Ryan and his play so far?
I think he's done.
Hot garbage.
I'm done. There's always an excuse.
I'm fine with it. Because the whole team is underperforming. He's not underperforming any more than anybody else as far as offense.
It's been, 3 years now?
Well, 3 years with some pretty significant injuries through a lot of those years.
Okay. So he's consistently injured. It's true.
Well, he has been injured through it.
He's oft injured.
It's the third time he's broken a finger.
Not even the same one, too.
Okay, that was what I was wondering about. It's not the same finger.
I asked Dean about that. He's like, no, it's three different fingers.
Yeah.
Jeez.
He needs to get thicker gloves.
But he's not showing that he's a $7 million player.
Brian Burke is starting to sound like he was correct.
Yeah, I'm not going down that road yet. Not.
Want to go down this road, but I keep coming back to it.
Well, I think that there's an awful lot of players who aren't living up to what they're being paid to do.
Absolutely. Yep.
On this team.
But he's the top played
Hoffman player. Hoffman and Stone be among them right now.
Stone's getting there. Hoffman's okay.
They're getting there, but they're not there, just like Bobby Ryan isn't there. So
I haven't seen it from at all.
Tourists exceeding expectations.
Oh, absolutely.
Exceed.
Quietly doing it, too.
Yep. Very impressed with his play. But, there are lots of players who aren't. Quite frankly, our second defense pairing has been struggling. Our third defense pairing I've been very happy with.
But, I think they should split them up.
I'm wondering if that might happen before long. Put CeCe with Boro, because they used to play together in Binghamton.
Yeah.
So that might be useful.
I'm surprised they haven't tried that yet.
We'll see. But on the whole, no, I'm not dumping on Bobby Ryan yet. I'm just not. Tom Pyatt, we already talked about.
I'm not dumping on Bobby Ryan, but I must admit that I'm in the squat position and it's getting hard to hold it.
Oh, man. It is late for you, isn't it? It's late for us. It's even later for you. Okay. The one thing I wanted to talk, we'll get to what grinds my gears and we'll get out of here shortly. Because there's not too many other things to talk about, really. The one thing I wanted to talk about away from the Senators was it kind of came out of the GM meetings and it kind of came out of nowhere, which was the talk for the longest time was NHL players at the Olympics. And the IIHF came up with money to pay for insurance and travel and all that sort of thing, which is what the NHL was complaining about. And that was sort of not a done deal, but it was found and that obstacle was removed. And suddenly the NHL says, okay, well, you guys can go to the Olympics if you extend the CBA by 3 years. I'm sorry. What? Where did that condition come from?
Makes you wonder if that was on the table back for many years.
Well, either that or it's okay. Well, now that this obstacle has been removed, we're going to leverage the removal of that obstacle, which we had put in place, by getting something we want.
It's all leverage.
It is.
We'll see how it goes.
Well,
I'm hearing back that part of the rebuttal from the players is going to be, okay, but you got to cap escrow.
Yeah. Or give us a serious cut of whatever comes out of if I was them, it'd be either you have to cap, or we're the World Cup suddenly becomes hockey related revenue.
Yeah,
because it isn't. It is such a joke, and I thought it was terrible, but they're going to do it again. And the quite frankly,
they're going to do it again. They mean money,
exactly, which is why the players are going, okay, you know, well.
Oh yeah, Tyler's
grease our palms.
Like, how many of the guys are hurt?
Exactly. Oh, I can't.
Hemsky's career is probably over.
I'm who's
Hemsky?
Really?
Oh yeah.
Well, I know he was hurt, but it was
out
that bad?
For 6-8 months. And that's the season.
Yikes!
At 34, 35 years old, that's about it.
Glad we didn't sign him. Or Steven Stamkos, because he's out for 2 months. Actually, he's out for
he's
probably
a dud.
Four
all
or
the
five.
Idiots who want him on the team.
And Mika.
And Tampa keeps winning.
Yeah, at least for now. Good on them. The other thing that came out of the GM's meetings was the possible change to the shootout rules to allow players to be reused.
I don't like it.
I don't like it.
I don't like it either. We're all in agreement on this. Okay, I wasn't
Imagine
expecting
that.
Seeing the guys that don't know what they're doing go out.
There. Exactly. If you're going to make it into a spectacle, make it a spectacle. What? And I mean, the analogy that was used on the radio, which was the one I was going to come up with, was you want to see something exciting in a shootout? I have one name for you, Marek Milik. Do you remember his goal?
Yeah.
Between his legs, which nobody was expecting him to do because he'd scored 3 NHL goals in his life. So he tried a trick move and it worked.
And to be honest with you, if next year they have it where you can use the same shooter over and over and over again,
oh, God,
I think
I
after
not.
The 3.
I hope not.
No, that's just, you know what I would do if I was Pierre Dorion? You take that number 11 banner. You bring it back up, you play 11 fours, and you just have Alfredson there for the shooting.
Yeah, that could be fun.
He's 44 years old. But
well, you can leave his banner in the
skin. He went 12 for 12 one year or something like that.
Yeah, he's good in the shootout, so we'll keep him out there. The
goalies aren't going to have a read on him.
They won't know anymore.
Yeah.
I like your thinking. I think it's the stupidest idea ever, because if you're going to have a shootout and it's supposed to be exciting and entertaining, I think what they're trying to do is shorten it. It's like, how short is your attention span if you want to keep a shootout to 5 rounds?
You already knocked it down to 3.
If your stars can't score in the first 3, then give somebody else a shot and make it entertaining. But it's probably all TV network stuff, and they want to keep games within time slots for people's PVRs. Whatever.
Is that the goalie?
Flip a coin.
Yeah. Other than Stamkos, the other two, and Mika Zibanejad, not in the same category, but other major player injuries, Taylor Hall is now out for a while for New Jersey, and Johnny Gaudreau was out for a while because he just had surgery on his wrist. It's like, ooh, there's some pretty big names being put on the shelf for a while in this league.
Yeah, because Gaudreau broke his had his finger broken.
Yeah, and he had to have surgery.
Why isn't Bobby Ryan doing that? Well, I guess it's a different
kind of break, I think.
I guess.
I don't know. Anything else you want to talk about? Should we just grind gears and get out of here? You're going to have the week to come. There's a warning for you.
Oh, yeah.
But not yet. Canuck, what grinds your gears?
Well, how about we start with the voicemail?
Oh, yeah, good call.
Let me cue that up.
Sorry.
Hey, guys, it's CB Inc. calling. You know what really grinds my gears? People that come over to visit me. Now, I don't mind if they come over to visit. I'm quite the gracious host often. Here, sit down, have a nice glass of Zinfandel or something. You know, we'll share a nice bottle of wine. Hey, loving it. But then they bring over their dogs. I've got a cat. But then the dog and the cat don't get along, and they expect me to take my cat and put it away in a room. Well, the first time's a buy. You get away with it. The second time, no. Don't bring your dog. Or even worse, people that come over and then say, I don't like cats. Can you put your cat away? No, I don't like your kid. Put your kid away. Oh, give it up. Just leave your dog at home. I've got a cat. Deal with it. You don't like it? Hey, my cat lives here. You're just visiting. Anyway, about to open another bottle of wine just to drown my sorrows. Thanks a lot. Talk to you guys later.
Very solid, CBing. Very, very solid. Thank you.
I think I need to let the listeners in on a little inside joke there. See, I've met CB Inc., and he's a beer drinker. And he does not drink wine at all. So On one of the, I think it was last season or something, I just kind of kept going on and on how he's an elaborate wine drinker. And of course, I made him laugh listening to the show. And since then, he's just picked up this persona in his emails and his voicemails about talking about Zinfandels and stuff like that. So every time he brings up wine and Zinfandels, I'm laughing now.
Well, I'm a wine drinker and a beer drinker. And I also drink scotch, among other things. But Zinfandel? I've had one that I like, but quite frankly, I'm more into a Valpolicella or a Malvasia. I like a red wine with some
bock. That's the only word he knows for wine.
Okay, Canuck, what grinds your gears?
Oh, gosh. Skype episodes.
Well,
that would be one.
5 minutes of technical difficulties is where we started tonight.
Oh, God. This is free, folks. This is free. I got one. With the departure of having Lyndon Sluage sing all of the anthems all the time, we've had kind of a plethora of different artists come and sing. So you get to hear a lot of different anthem singers, which, you know, has its positives and negatives. It's also highlighted to me something that I hear a lot of singers do, and I don't know if I could do it justice or explain it well, but if this does grind other people's gears, I'm going to ruin a lot of sporting events now. It's usually with the U.S. anthem that you hear this the most, just because the way it's written. It's singers who don't hit the note on right, and I don't know if it's a lack that they can't, because I think they can. It's not a talent issue. It's they like to swoop up to the note, and it's usually over the ramparts we watch. Instead, they'll do, "Over the ramparts we watch." Oh, drives me nuts. The ramparts. You listen for it. You'll hear it all the time.
Or they add in a bunch of extra notes and trills and everything else.
Oh, like because the last singer? Yeah.
Oh, it's a national anthem. It's not a song.
There's a kid that sang at the Florida game.
Yeah, that was brutal.
Oh, no, this was like an 11-year-old.
Oh.
In the game against Florida. He was in some type of singing contest in Gatineau, and he was incredible.
Well, at the Vancouver game, it was, she was quite, I think it might have been the same young woman who sang at the preseason game I was at with you. And she has a great voice. My one problem with it's when people try and take a national anthem and make it, for want of a term, breathy. Like they try and slow it down and make it dramatic. If you want people to sing along with you, don't mess with the meter.
Yeah, I guess they're messing with the meter all the time.
Because with Lyndon Sluage, we knew exactly what it was going to be, and everybody could sing along. And I mean, he is a very powerful baritone. So it makes you want to sing. You can't imitate that kind of thing. I certainly can't. But you want to sing along loud and proud, not, "Oh, Canada." Oh, come on.
Well, you know, the whole problem is that Lyndon Sluage is downtown.
Anyway, yes, Canuck, I am with you on that one. It does drive me crazy.
Over to you.
And you want to go next?
Sure.
Okay.
Satirical websites.
Like The Onion?
Yep.
Oh.
Why? BuzzFeed.
It creates noise, and it confuses people, and it gets Donald Trump in the friggin' White House.
Actually, BuzzFeed, you know, you guys kept saying that Trump won the election, but I just checked BuzzFeed. They're still tallying it in. They show Hillary in the lead.
Well.
In the popular vote, yes, but that doesn't matter.
It's not about the majority.
Anyway. All right. Well, very true. And false news stories on Facebook, they get propagated and then become the truth. Thank you.
That's exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going in a different direction. I think I'll get sympathy on at least one of these. I have two this week. Number one, what grinds my gears is roadworks project coordination. And what I mean by this, and I use it as a prime example, they've been repaving the 417. Canuck, you can use the little chime local noise sound there. They've been repaving the 417 east of Ottawa, so just past the split. And they've been doing it for most of the summer into the fall. they put the final skin of tarmac onto the stretch between Boundary Road and Anderson Road. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful. It's smooth. It's wonderful. It's perfect. Yep. And a week later, they tear it up to replace a conduit underneath the road.
It's ridiculous.
And it's now an Ontario thing.
And now there are these two wonderful...
Thanks a lot, Catherine Wynne.
Unbelievable. You had it torn up and for 3 months while you're repaving. Why didn't you replace that before you put the final tarmac down? Is it that hard? I mean, I used to earn a living as a project coordinator. So you kind of work these things out.
I honestly think it's just to generate some sort of economy.
Oh, anyways.
That's ridiculous and environmentally unfriendly.
It happens all over the place. Yeah. And every time there's road works, as soon as there's a final skin of tarmac on the road, you know they're going to tear it up for something. And it drives me crazy. The second one, I may not get as much sympathy on this one. The second thing that grinds my gears this week is clothing sizing, small, medium, large.
Oh, you have issues with that.
Yeah. I have issues with this. As is well known, and for people who have met me, I am tall.
You're vertically challenged.
No, I'm gravitationally gifted. I have taller. I am tall, but I do not have a big frame.
Yes.
I am tall and slim. Now, trying to find clothing sized small, medium, and large that actually fits me is actually rather difficult because a small, which fits me around, doesn't fit me top to bottom, mm-hmm. and vice versa when you get into a medium or a large.
I swear crop tops all the time.
I'll show off my abs, that's right. My washboard stomach that just has a lot of laundry piled on top of it, that's all. I recently bought a wool base layer shirt, like a long sleeve t-shirt,
yep.
and two hoodies and a fall spring jacket, a 3-season jacket. I'm 6'3". They're all smalls. Now, this means, no offense to present company, they wouldn't fit you. I'm looking at Pan. But the other side of this coin is, what size of human or orangutan is an extra, extra large?
Thanks, Obama. to be honest, that's what's happened.
It's just the sizing. It's that
people have grown in size, so that they just change the sizes to make people feel better about themselves.
Well, I tried on an extra, extra large, and there's just so much space between the two shoulders. The arms are kind of the same length, but no, there's enough to put three of me inside one of these things. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
And this is stuff that I've learned through my diabetes is when my doctor was saying, he's like, well, now the sugar levels that are not diabetic is now this percentage. They move the scale up. So that the general person isn't diabetic, but it's like, but they're still high.
They actually move.
They move the scale.
So somebody who was in the scale for diabetic 10 years ago is now in the normal range?
Well, and we see it a lot. I'm just jumping on the States right now, but you see it a lot on TV and they say, it's like, well, no, it's like, I'm not obese because I'm not at 300 pounds or whatever it is.
I'm only 285?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're just really big. You're not obese, but you're still really big. Do something about it.
Yeah.
I didn't know that about diabetes. That's a frightening, frightening thought.
Yeah.
Hmm. Time for a checkup for me, I think.
I've got the kid upstairs.
I tend to eat reasonably well, and I try at least. All right, that was what grinds my gears. Well, a week to come or weeks to come.
What about Pan?
Before that, sorry, we do apologize. This month has been absolutely ludicrous for all of us as far as trying to find a time to record, and that's why we're doing it from two different time zones this week because we just really wanted to get an episode out. We do try. It's just none of our lives have any sort of simplicity to them these days. So apologies. So Pan's going to do a bit long of a week to come because we don't know when we're going to be back, at least not yet.
It's tomorrow night. Sens are in Montreal. I think it's going to be a big win. Then Thursday, we're back at home against Boston. Okay, see, this is what the freaking issue is. Okay, so Thursday at home against Boston. Saturday at home against Carolina. Good luck with that. Sunday, we're in New York against the Mikolas Rangers.
They have Pumple.
Well, let's see if they even play him. Yeah, watch that kid light us up. Mm-hmm. Tuesday the 29th at home against Buffalo. Then Thursday at home against Philly. And then Saturday the 3rd against the Panthers. Why aren't people going to the games?
Because there are too damn many of them.
Yeah, 3 in 1 week.
Yeah. A few too many.
And few two of these many. Aren't really draws, and Philly is, man.
Smallest team in the league this year. That's hard to believe. The Broad Street Bullies are the smallest team in the league. Freaky. Canuck, any last thoughts other than the fact that you really want to go to bed?
All good here.
Okay. Quick reminders. Thank you very much to everybody who emailed this week. It was appreciated. It gave us lots to talk to, and it's much more entertaining to hear other people's thoughts than just hear our own all the time. You can email us at podcast@sendscallups.com. You can always interact with us via Twitter, either individually or through the main account for the podcast. You can call the waiver wire at 1-844-SCU-6565, which we had a couple this week. Those are always fun. On behalf of Pan and Canuck, thank you very much for listening. Canuck, go to bed. And everybody, good night.
See ya.